Blog Talk Radio.
We start our show tonight in prayer. Shall we bow our heads? We thank you, dear Father, for just another opportunity to learn from your word. We thank you for our sisters and brothers all around the world. We come to you, dear Father, with our prayer and supplication, and giving you thanks. Your thanksgiving is just, you're worthy of all the praise. And we just make our requests known to you, dear Father. We thank you, dear Father, for all the needs that have been provided. Thank you for your grace and your mercy each and every day. We thank you for forgiving us for all of our sins, dear Father. And we repent of those sins right now in Jesus' name. May we decrease and you increase to pour into our spirits your loving word as a comfort, as a deliverance, as a guider, our leader tonight. We say thank you. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen, and amen. This is your host, Minister Von Dimas, and I'm excited to be coming to you broadcasting live in San Antonio, Texas, one more day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. It's a mild day today. We really had some cool weather here. Actually, it's just been cold. But it's lifted up today. It's been pretty nice today. We didn't have any wind blowing, which was what was making it just so freezing cold. So I even stuck out tonight, and it was still pleasant. It was definitely pleasant. So I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. And we pray for all of you that are in temperatures that are considerably more colder than it is here in San Antonio, and I pray that all of your needs are being met and you have everything that you do, and I remind you to be safe out there, you know, be safe. You never know about black ice and when things are freezing over, so your driving pattern should change. I've lived in winter states, Omaha, Nebraska, for, you know, a lot of period, long periods of my life, and I know that, you know, sometimes people still just kind of drive the same way that they do when it's summertime or springtime. But we have to be smart and take care of ourselves and take care of your fellow drivers, the person who's driving next to you. Make sure that you are watching what you're doing. And, of course, any season, please, no texting and driving. I know it's tempting sometimes, but if you have something on speed dial, maybe do the speed dial. Make sure you're going through your telephone. Through the car, sync it in with your car so you can not have to be trying to type or dial anything while you're actually driving. So God bless each and every one of you. And our scripture tonight is just going to come out of the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 1. And we're going to start at chapter 15. And we're just going to read a little bit of here. And then we're going to speak tonight just about a request that topic is just faith and work. And we're going to talk about the faith and work. And I understand that there is some misunderstanding about some of the things about the topic. So more than welcome, I invite you to send in information about if you're not too sure about something and you want to hear me speak on that subject. Most definitely you can do that. So I appreciate that request. And we're going to honor your request tonight with the faith and work. So we're starting tonight with our scripture, Ephesians 1 and verse 15 is where we're starting, and we're going to finish off that chapter. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Thank you, Jesus. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. Verse 20 says, and when he exerted in Christ, which he raised from the dead, and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realm, far above all rules and authority, power and dominion, and every title can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over all the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, which fills everything in every way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I like the way that Paul put that. I like the way he presented that to the Ephesians. Again, it's Ephesians 1, verse 15 through 23. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So now as we continue our start with our faith and work, you know, have you ever felt like, or maybe you're feeling like now, that if your deeds that you do on a daily basis, if those deeds feel more like hard labor, I encourage you to find power and find a purpose through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it does. It feels like just doing the right thing is just like hard labor. And then it suggests us that we're doing too much. We're holding on to the things that we're supposed to be doing. We're not laying it down at the end of our day, laying it down at the end of that speaking engagement, laying everything down before you go on that job. Continuously being in prayer about it as you go through that job. But you are God's masterpiece, regardless of what it feels like, what people say about you, how it may come out. You are God's masterpiece. And so are your works for him. So are the works that you do for him. It is God's masterpiece. Man may not give you credit for it, and you will want not to rely on that. But you are God's masterpiece, and your works for him is also. And they were created just for you, and prepared in advance so you could minister to others. Your masterpiece, the talents that God put inside of you, is created just for you. And that someone else may look at and they can't understand it, but it's not their talent. It wasn't created for them. And they don't understand how you operate. They don't understand how you're able to maneuver and get ahead and continue to keep your head up. But it's not for them. What you have is created just for you. It was prepared in advance, before you were even born. Your talents was already set aside just for you. JD, do you hear me right now? You know, LaMeca, do you hear me right now? That these things were prepared for you for in order that you may minister to other people. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, but do you sometimes struggle to understand what they are? So as we look back, and I want to take it slow. I want you to really understand me, especially to the young lady who had emailed me about this topic. I want you to look back again at the Ephesians 2 and 10 and make sure you write that down, because that's, again, what we're talking about. That all of the talents that you have has been specially created for you. And then as we look and understand, as you were saying, sometimes you struggle just to understand what they are for. How are you helping? It feels like your work is in vain. Or maybe you're unsure of how to best translate your faith into the works. Or you just may feel you're not doing enough. Someone out there knows what I'm talking about. But if you don't have a healthy spiritual understanding of the relationship between faith and work, then sometimes we end up feeling more pressured than empowered in what we seek to do for the Lord. Consider the following story from Scripture. One day Jesus went to the temple, and it was a Sabbath morning, bright with promise and filled with potential, and he was doing good work in his natural role of teacher, you know, enlightening and inspiring everyone who listened. But there was an interruption in the middle of class. And you know the story. It was a crippled woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit. It captured Jesus' attention, Luke 13 and 11 tells us. And she had been bowed down for so long that she could no longer stand up straight. So when she met Jesus, everything changed for her, both in her body and for the rest of her life. See, this ironic story of healing, the subject of books and sermons and academic dissertation, fires our faith. when we hear the stories and when we read the books about the healings and the different things, it does. It really inspires our faith. But it should also challenge our thinking about what it means to put our faith into action for God. Are you following along? Now, in Luke 13, in this chapter, Jesus teaches about sin, and he explains that it isn't always the reason for persecution. And with his word, Jesus set people free who had been bound by wrong ideas. And then the crippled woman allowed him to put the lesson into action by healing her. Follow along with me. So then he liberated someone who had been persecuted by Satan for years. That's what he did, right? Set her free. And then as our compassionate healer, him himself, therefore, he restored her. He restored her. He built her back up from all of the things that she had lost from all of that time. It says she was changed for the rest of her life. Total restoration. He liberated her, and he restored her because he is a compassionate healer. So when you're going out and you're doing your works for the Lord and you're all of you doing, don't forget to allow him to liberate you from all of the stuff that you've had to had attached to you throughout the day. You know, people can touch you with a nasty spirit, and if you gotta make sure that you are free from that. And then not only that, you gotta remind yourself to remember in your prayer that you ask for restoration, that he restore you. Pour back into you what's been taken out throughout the day is what I'm trying to say. Build you back up because you're still in this flesh suit. And that's why sometimes it can feel like a struggle. It can feel like you're working, and you feel like nothing is happening. So you feel like your work is in vain. But I came to teach you today that he is a compassionate healer. And just like he liberated the woman with the issue, and then he restored her. That is his plan for you. That is what he wants to do for you. He is prepared to do it for you. See, both tasks, teaching and healing, they're good works, right? Now, we were talking about he was teaching and healing. He was teaching. He was interrupted for the healing. But the interruption actually wasn't one at all. It was made. See, it didn't take away from his teaching. It actually deepened his teaching. And we should allow such moments to strengthen our own good works. Our works, again, are enriched by divine power. This is something that was planted inside of us, our works that we was going to do to change lives in others. A long time ago, before we were even created. So our works are enriched by divine power. But I admit, sadly, this power is often the missing element in our life. See, when we operate in our own strength, then our work isn't good as the word is defined in the New Testament Greek. Like, for example, in Ephesians 2:20, agathos means good. It usually refers to more of to work, made our vigorous work, our divine work, our purpose, our power. The same in Titus 2. Here the Greek term is kalos, which means noble or beauty, beautiful or character is the way that it's speaking. But in both cases, the goodness is not something that people possess. It is from the Spirit who dwells within us. So because he lacked the divine power Jesus had, the synagogue leader is who we're talking about, he restored to criticizing him for healing on the Sabbath. Because he lacked the divine power that Jesus had, he did not understand that even on the Sabbath, that the healing was more important than just the day by being the Sabbath.
In reply, but Jesus called the man. He was shaming them for giving lip service. You know, you can talk, but giving lip service to the tradition. But why ignoring someone's needs? You know? So he called them hypocrites because they talked a good talk, but they were not walking the walk. They were ignoring the needs of the people. A need, he remembered it by doing good work regardless of the day. He did the good works regardless of it being the Sabbath. This is why we must pray for the Holy Spirit to anoint our labors. And with his divine power, we develop or discover the work that is essential to who we are. We're not trying to do someone else's work. We do the work that is essential to who we are, what we're supposed to do. And when we get all of this down off inside of us, and sometimes if we're not doing it, and not in the right place, and we're trying to work outside of the will of God, even though we know what's down off inside of us that we're feeling that we need to do, maybe we're at the wrong place. Maybe we went where we have chosen to go, Jonah, and have not went to where it is that God has placed us to be at that time, that season in our lives. And sometimes we have to watch it, and we will follow behind the wrong people, and we'll be in the wrong place trying to do what it is that we know that God has put inside of us, but we're just at the wrong time. We're at the wrong place. We're with the wrong crowd. And it can feel strenuous. Not to say that that's always the situation. Like we forestated, it could just be the fact that we are not asking for restoration. We're not laying all of our burdens down. We're not asking to be liberated. But this is why we must pray for the Holy Spirit to anoint us as we are out in the harvest laboring. So the harvest is plentiful. It's lots of work to be done in the harvest. So we that are laborers who are out there, and we know that the laborers are few, we could always use much more help, right? So it does no good to anyone to just wear ourselves down or beat ourselves down and think that our flesh can just take it. We have to come and be replenished, be worked over, let God polish us up, dust off all of the things that we require doing today. Amen? And then so we can acquire his Holy Spirit, his divine power, so we can discover the work that is essential to each and every one of us. Because it reflects a yield inward character. And that inward character produces the humble work. And it gives off true quality. That's what we're representing, right? We don't want to be out there and halfway doing something, even in our homes. We're leaders, we're Christians, even in our homes. We still got to speak the word in our homes. And our work should never be separate from our faith. See, rather, it should be both empowered and inspired, and therefore the essence of our belief. Just like he was teaching and healing, the interruption didn't stop the teaching, it added to the teaching. It proved the teaching. So again, our faith and our works should be together. One should empower the other. One should inspire the other. See, in the chapter of Luke's gospel, before Jesus healed the crippled woman, he tells a parable about a barren fig tree in danger of being cut down. But the caretaker begged for more time to save it, saying, I dig around it and I put in fertilizer. See, why not allow the Holy Spirit to do the same good work in you? See, when you ask the Lord to empower you by pruning you, by weeding you, by feeding you spiritually, I know that pruning doesn't always feel good, that de-weeding doesn't always feel good. But you will bear not just fruit, but a harvest a true service to others. You want to be true servants. You want to give true service to others. You want to be a true servant. And when you allow God to work in your life, fertilize you, build you up, remove some things out of the way, plant some new things in your life, that's when you not just bear fruit, good fruit too, but a harvest of true service to others. Let's start to feel more comfortable. You know that you're in your zone. It's just like a squeaky thing. When you put that oil on there, it just smoothly just goes around. The rotation of it is more of a smooth cycle each time around. Is when we just keep going and just lay everything down and open ourselves up as willing vessels. Be willing to let God take you through what you need to go through. Then as we reflect and explore from supporting scriptures, that's where our reflection comes from, the scriptures. Then we explore the passages and the journal that to answer your questions. I invite everyone to journal throughout your day something that's going on. At the end of the night, keep a journal. And some of the questions that you have, as you read back through your journal, you will be able to know that, you know what, these here questions have been answered because this scripture right here that I'm going over right now actually answered that question that was bogging me down for so long. You see, Jesus promised the disciples that his Holy Spirit would empower them as witnesses. Same for you. His Holy Spirit is there to empower you before you go out to witness the word. Read Acts 1, 4 through 8. He says, what difference would empowerment by the Holy Spirit make to the works you feel called to do in Jesus' name? It answers it for you. And then we got a couple more scriptures I want to give to you here. Now, read Titus 3 through 8. It's about just showing you performing good works is encouraged in scriptures. Performing good works is encouraged in the scriptures. You know, why does learning to do our good works matter, you may ask? What additional preparation do you need? And then as we move on to 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, if you list your needs for ministry, what do you discover? How does naming your needs for resources change your prayers for the good work that you seek to do? You got to know what you need. What if you need greater resources to do your good work? 2 Corinthians touches on that. And then in Psalms 92, 13 and 14, the Bible describes both old and young as fruitful doers of good works for the Lord. Both old and young as fruitful doers. That means you're producing good fruit. That means that you have a harvest and that you're given true service. He said both old and young. So if old age has been your excuse for not doing more for others in Jesus' name, how does the scripture challenge your understanding of your potential? Or if young age has been your excuse for not doing more for others in Jesus' name, how does the scripture challenge your understanding of your potentials, of what you should be doing right now, what you're responsible for? In my response, I just invite you to all just take and answer these questions honestly with yourself. Just answer the following questions and then journal your thoughts if possible. Journal your thoughts. The first one is, What is God saying to you through your study today? Through the study today, what is God saying to you? What is he saying to you about reflection, about exploring, about faith and works? What is he saying to you about the talents that was prepared for you, prepared in advance so that you could minister to others? What is it that God is saying to you right now through the study? And then what questions do you have about what you've learned today? What questions do you have for me about what you've learned today? Now, I want you to ask the Lord to reveal greater truth through prayer and further studying, and then to help you pay attention to what he shows you in the coming days. Amen? Ask him to reveal the greater truth through prayer, through your study, and not just to reveal it to you, but that you can understand what it is that he's showing you in these next coming days. Amen? It's not a lot. I'm not asking a lot. But I want you to also write a prayer, a response to God. Write a prayer, response to God. Amen? Now, you may want to download the episode so you can go back to make sure that you have all the things that has been asked of you today. It's not a lot, but you're definitely going to need to know it. And again, it is what is God saying to you through your study today, the study that we just had today. Our scriptures that you're going to go back over and study is going to be Acts 1, 4 and 8, Titus 3, 3 and 8, 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, Psalms 92, 13 and 14. And then the second question is, what questions do you have about what you've learned today? And that you're going to ask the Lord to reveal the greater truth through your prayer, through your studying, and then you want him to also help you pay attention to what he's showing you in the next coming days through your prayer and your study. And then you're going to write a prayer of response to the Lord, okay? Just responding back, a prayer of response. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, as we close tonight, I just want to first just pray for, thank you for being so honest with me in your prayers and in your emails. Again, you know how overjoyed I get just to receive your emails. And Merry Christmas to each and every one of you also. And just remember in the hustle and the bustle of everything that you're planning, remember that to take care of your stuff. It's just very important. It's on my heart right now that remind each and every one of you to take care of yourself. Take care of the things that you do. Make sure that you don't get in such a hurry to try to get some gift, because we want to give our best to our loved ones. And that's what we were speaking of. You know, we spoke about that. We want to give our best because we're leading by our example. But God gave us his very best. But he's just reminding me to tell you just to take care of yourself while you're out there in the daily hustle and bustle. And then someone on their job, you're feeling like maybe something's not going to come through. You didn't get what you thought you was going to get. And it's going to mess up your Christmas. But God said, no, you just open up your heart and just enjoy a Christmas, a personal Christmas between he and you. If that's all that you have, that's all that you need. It's not about receiving anything, and it's not if you can't give this year, give from your heart. Hopefully you've been given all year long from your heart, that you've been a true servant. Hallelujah. And that you can give whatever it is right now, this Christmas, give it to God. Just be a true servant. Go to the nursing home and help someone. God will appreciate your gift. And I pray for Ms. Arnold and her family. I pray for every individual that is on my team at Xerox. And I pray for my family, my children, LaMeka and JD, and I pray for my grandkids, Tatiana, Nathaniel, who's going to be 9 years old on tomorrow. God bless you, Nathaniel. Wow. And we pray for Janelle and for James. And we definitely pray for my mom and my sisters and brothers and nieces and nephews and all other ones that is in the archives. And I pray for all of the ones that are listening live or in the chat room. I really pray for you. And any prayer request that you have that you send, I want you to know that it doesn't go unprayed for. I enjoy praying for you and reaching out to pray for you and sharing your name with other ministers and leaders as we surround you around the world. We like to get someone praying on the north, the south, the east, and the west. And so we just want to be in prayer around you wherever you're at. We try to send out to other ministers and leaders to join in with us and believe in your prayers, because God does answer prayers. Amen, amen, amen. And as we close tonight, I just come to remind you that there is a position open here, and it's for each and every one of us to take advantage of. So let me tell you a little bit more about it. Servants are definitely wanted. We spoke that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Servants are wanted, and we have unlimited openings for motivated servants to meet the needs of God's people. You can start immediately. Responsibilities include performing random acts of kindness, sharing, and pleasing God, and doing what he calls you to do. No skills needed. God will equip you with the on-the-job training, and the benefits include growth opportunities leading to one incredible raise at the end of your service. So to apply for this position, and I'm sure that you all want to, all that you have to do is contact God. Amen? It's just contact God. And you say, well, how do I go about doing that? If you don't know him, have never been introduced, give me the opportunity now to introduce you to one friend that you never, ever want to leave. He will always be with you, and you're always glad that he is with you. All you have to do now is just open up your heart, repeat the words after me, and believe the words that you say, and he will come in, live inside of you. You will be a new creature in Christ. You will be born again. Hallelujah. All right, well, here we go. Great opportunity, and the heavens are just rejoicing just the fact of you stepping up to this opportunity. As you repeat these words, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. And I just want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And now I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Friends, you have a whole new life with Jesus to look forward to. Starting right now, you've just now been hired for the position that is open. Your slate is clean before God. I know that your family and your friends may still try to remind you of all the mistakes that you made, but it's one thing that you can remind yourself of. You have a clean slate with God starting right now. Your spirit has been reborn because of Christ's great sacrifice and his love for you. So please let me know of your decision to follow Christ. I'll be more than happy to help you in any way that I can. You could reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. My name again is Minister Von Dillon. And remember, Christ is thinking about you, and he wants to shine brightly in your life. He wants to show you the things that he has planned just for you. Just for you. He don't want you to have to try to look after nobody else and do what somebody else has done. He has things just for you. Even before you was born, he had worked out what it is that he has for you to do. So that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. So remember, in your response tonight, if your deeds feel more like hard labor, then find power. Find some purpose through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is there to take that load off of you, to make sure he's pulling you in the right direction. So make sure that you're asking God to give you what you need to pay attention to what it is that the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now, what it is that God is revealing to you right now, that it'll hold your attention, that he can show you your way, so he can lighten that burden that you're carrying. It shouldn't be that heavy load. And then write the response to God. You may find out that you're in the wrong place. You may find out that you're working, doing all the work, but you're at the wrong season. It's up to God to reveal that to you. So don't spend another day, another hour, worrying about, am I touching, am I doing something? I'm not seeing anyone doing anything out of this. Don't worry about that. God sees it. God has it all in control. You just do his work, okay? Well, I hope this has helped you in some tremendous way. Follow up with me. Let's see where you're at and where you're going. Until the next broadcast, God bless you. God loves you more than we ever could. And we'll see you tomorrow. Do your best out there. And remember, take a few extra minutes to take care of yourself. Take care of yourself and those around you. Amen. Bye-bye.